Hi, welcome to Through the Seasons. I am Megan Gilger, and I'm really glad you're here today. Welcome, my friends. I am very much feeling this sense of gratitude for such a beautiful month. Granted, we have been like having rain like nonstop for almost like 4 days, I think. But I personally really love the rain, and I talk about it in the newsletter today, which if you want to go check it out, this is our free newsletter that I produce every single week on my Substack. If you don't know what Substack is, it's basically a way to create your newsletter. You can follow along, it emails you just like any other newsletter, but you also get access to the app and this other sort of like a social network. It allows deeper connection, more writing, more, you know, if you want to. If not, it's as easy as just signing up for any other newsletter. It seems when people mention Substack, I think a lot of people think that it is another social network. Technically, some people say it is and it isn't. It's a social network that you can experience or not. It's not more complicated than that. I do have a paid version of it, which is what Substack really, you know, is about, is allowing you the ability to create a paid newsletter, which allows people such as myself who are writing and creative thinkers to kind of do things on their terms, and which is what I love about Substack. So if you are interested, you can totally become a paid subscriber, but it's also just as wonderful in a way to support what I'm doing in creative thinking and writing by just becoming a free subscriber to the newsletter. It's still super valuable, or sharing it with friends every week. Every Friday is my free newsletter. This podcast comes out with it and is always in it. And the reflection that I read is also in it. So all you have to do is go to megangilger.substack.com. It's called Through the Seasons, just like the podcast. So I hope you go and check it out. There's lots of great content there and other things to really help you navigate and understand how to cultivate a deeper connection to self and the season, or to nature, through the natural rhythms of the seasons. It's, I think, really fun. That's just me. But anyways, I hope that you go and check it out. But I just have been deeply loving this moodiness of October. I think it's a really amazing way to prepare ourselves for winter. The low gray skies, the fog, all of that, I feel like it's a gentle way to remind us of what is ahead of us while it's still, you know, 60 degrees outside. Wow, that's pretty crazy. And in fact, when I was in town today, it was 75 because it's closer to and more insulated in water, around water, and the water is still variably warm for this time of year. So I'm just waiting for the snow machine to turn on at some point. but I'm not pushing this season at all because it is so vital to be present where we are. And I talk about that today in the newsletter and about how, and I, last week's free newsletter, I also gave this way how nature prepares us for winter, because so many people come to me and they're like, how do you enjoy winter? Like, it is so hard. And I will tell you, the way that I enjoy winter is a couple things. And I'm going to be talking about this pretty extensively as we dive deeper into winter. And I'm really pumped about it because I am an advocate for people learning to understand and enjoy winter as much as any other season. Because I think when we can fully embrace winter as a season, both in nature and then ultimately ourselves, we understand how vital it is to creating a more productive summer of our lives. Because those times are going to come and go. They even come and go within the day. But it is so important to understanding that these things must happen, that we must go through these things in order to get back to the cycle of abundance, which is summer, and to even understand how to grow properly. And I talk about this and I pursue it because I need it. I am somebody who has gone through these experiences myself. And I think becoming a parent made them very, very very tangible because I went through a period of transition that was so intense because, and I didn't realize that that's what parenting would do for me, but it did. And it opened me into this world of understanding and reflection of being able to be more sensitive to the natural world, more so than I had ever been even as a child, which I was extremely sensitive to the natural world as a child. It was where I found calm and connection to myself. And I had a lot of grief as a child from losing a grandparent who was very close to me, and processing that as a child and understanding what it meant to move and go through all the things that I went through. And it was very grounding to me to have nature. And so that's why I leaned on it when I went through the transition of motherhood and becoming this parent and having something separate of me and what that meant in my life, and how, I don't know, nature just automatically felt like the place. And then over time, there were all these places and things that would happen, like having dreams about trees on our land, or, and then going to them and realizing like that is the mother tree. And I felt connected to it somehow spiritually through whatever way, however you want to see that. There's so many different ways that I think we're just so interconnected to nature, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. But I think the more we do, the more reverence and respect we have for the greater world and the cycles we go through. So, and realizing like there's never anything that's going to be perfect. There's never anything that is going to align and just stay that way. And in fact, the only thing that is ever promised to us is that change will happen. And nature shows us how to change and how to transition and how to endure things and what it means in our life. And it also makes us way less important, which I think as humans, we always need that humility in our life. So I am obviously an advocate for this, but winter is the one that always stalls people. It always, you know, it's easy to enjoy spring because even if spring's mucky and crazy and weird, we know its ultimate goal is to get to summer, right? So we can get there. And we can get outside more with like the dirt, and it can be really exciting. But summer is the easiest one for most people to accept and to enjoy. And fall is beautiful and this magic, and people can love that because it's still warm and it's still, you know, there's not snow yet, even though technically half of fall or fall is technically wintry weather, especially for us in the north, though climate change has kind of shifted that. I think like it's so, so important for people to understand why feeling this passion and love for winter is as vital to loving these other seasons. It's just not as easy. And it's just like saying you enjoy being sick, you know, because being sick is a form of wintering. It's a form, you know, if you read that book by Catherine May, she did an eloquent, beautiful job of explaining how uncomfortable winter is, but also why it's so vital and why we're so uncomfortable. And I think discomfort in our life is a place when something emerges and says, hey, that feels kind of funky and not comfortable, or this is not something I want to be in right now. Like there is a place of, I always sit back and like say, what can that teach me? What is it telling me about me? What is it telling me about life? What is it telling me about whatever it may be, you know? And I think the beautiful thing about all the seasons is each one prepares us for the next. And we're right here in fall, and we're in this beautiful liminal space of just watching everything. We know now, like it is very evident, we are not going backwards. Like there's a point in like early October where it's like, maybe it'll just hold on a little longer in summer. And then there's this point where we realize, okay, we're going in. We are truly down the pipe now. Like, we are going in. And we know that the only way back is through. And that's where I think it starts to become uncomfortable for some people. For me, I'm like itching. And so I'm ready to like help you guys traverse this or navigate this next chapter of where we're going in the seasons, in hopes that not only it connects you, not, it doesn't have to make you love winter. I'm not looking to like convert you into a winter advocate. What I am looking to is to influence and help you understand why it's so important to embrace the seasons of nature and what they offer us, if anything. And so that we can see challenging points in our life, challenging points in nature, challenging points ahead of us that are no doubt there. Like, our world is in a challenging existential crisis. And I think that nature is the only thing that can guide us home through it and guide us through it. And unfortunately, I don't think everyone feels that way. But there is so much wisdom that lies in the things that are under our feet, the very soil we plant in, the way that we get our food. All of these things are conversations on how to repair what is broken, even amongst humans themselves. So how to coexist, why we should coexist, why community is essential, why diversity is essential. All of these things are uncomfortable conversations that nature has so easily. And so I've been going through this process myself of letting go of being this brand and trying to learn to understand and own who I am. And I've never felt more connected to the trees, more connected to nature, more connected to this season than I am right now in this moment where I'm trying to learn to acknowledge everything that being Fresh Exchange, being a blogger, at one point influencing people to buy things on Amazon specifically, or talking about Black Friday sales and doing all that icky stuff that now I look back on and I'm like, oh God, why did I do that? But I know why I did it. And I think there's parts of ourselves that we can want to shed so quickly. But when we do, there can also be this like, if we don't acknowledge what they gave us, what they taught us, what they allowed us space for, and then we're not celebrating what we did properly. Like, it's almost like we're discarding a portion of our life that actually was really important. Because if I look back at that, there is part of that. It taught me so many things. And you guys are all just like, have messaged me and you're like, you got to talk about some of this. I don't think I'm ready to. I think I got to be further from it. And I also like, there's a lot of people I know and respect that are still in that circle. And I don't know how to talk about it and not offend these people that I deeply respect. Because it's not that it's wrong. It's that it was wrong for me to continue on that path. I think that's the truth of it. And I think that's important to understand, is that by one person taking a different path, it doesn't say anything about anyone else. But what it does, it should make some people curious about, why did that happen? Why did you choose that? You know, maybe there's something there for me to learn. And because I always look at other people that when they walk away from something that I'm the path on, where I'm like, oh, Should I be hearing something here? Is this, instead of thinking, what does this say about me? I ask, what can it teach me? And that's a growth mindset, you know, which is so important in life. But because sometimes it's not about anything other than like your time there was done. Your lessons that you were meant to learn were done. And I actually had a conversation with a friend this week about, you know, moving out of that marketing world, moving from that into something that was more deeply meaningful, and the cost that came with that. And also like the freedom that came with that, And there's so many challenges and like, oh man, like you gotta like pull yourself up into a different direction and realize that like you, it's a good thing, but it's a hard thing. And hopefully this passion that you have doesn't come back to you in the same way that this other thing did that you were also passionate about at one time. I think it's tricky and it's hard, but I'm digressing. What I'm getting to is that in this process of shedding Fresh Exchange and moving from a brand, moving from an influencer in this world, and I really cringe at that word, and I know many people who do, but I was. That was what was going on for a long time, and it feels like I let it go a long time ago, but I couldn't let it fully go. Like, I still identified in that. Like, it was like I'm still in that chapter until I let it, I literally let the name go. And granted, our website's still that way. Like, every transition takes time, and there's a reason there's time. There's a reason that it took me like 2 weeks to get my name to change on Instagram. Like, everything takes time when you have an entity that you have been with for 13 years. And it takes time personally, spiritually, physically, and then also externally. And so I, like this month or next, sorry, December, our community will close and it will, I will only be doing Substack. And I have had so much heavy feelings about that. And I've been watching these trees, and this is what the reflection is about today that I'm going to read, is watching these trees shed their leaves in this beautiful way that feels so just, it feels like they're breathing them off. I keep like just being really jealous almost of how easily that can happen for them. And I sit there and I sit in my office and I'm watching these trees just shed their leaves all around me. And I'm like, gosh, you just showed every bit of what was so life, like all the things that gave you life. You just like grabbed them. And I know I've talked about this a few times, but I think it's, I'm obsessed with it right now. You're just like letting them go. And it's like a dance. It's like a celebration. The entire ground is covered in this color that identifies who these trees are. There's still some on above. Like, it's this perfect liminal space of seeing the beauty of what a tree, who a tree is, mixed with the absolute just like space to just say, I don't need it anymore. I'm good. But all at the same time, it's a perfect celebration of it all. Like, it's like this like dance that all the trees are doing, saying, yes, we get to release things now. And they're letting the ending go in order to feed something else. And they don't necessarily, they have hope in the system and what is ahead of them. And I think part of it is that the things that are ahead of me are still really foggy. There's still a path to walk to see where things go. And I have things that are looming out there that are exciting. I have her Substack, but it's still all new. It's still, is it sturdy enough to grab onto? And so I've realized that I haven't celebrated endings, and we don't do that well. We don't celebrate what has given us life. Because sometimes with those things that we think that are giving us life, or it did give us life, we want to get rid of them because they no longer do. And so it's hard to celebrate all those little tidbits of what was there and that did teach us, that grew us, that set deep roots, that identified where we are meant to go to next. And so I'm sitting here going through in my head all the good things that came. The relationships, the opportunities, the adventures, the, you know, the even the money, the finances of it, the things that it taught me to grow, and the things it taught me I didn't want in my life. Those are all worthy of celebration, and we don't do that. It's so easy to celebrate the things that are next, the big things, the beginnings. The beginnings are the things that are easiest to celebrate because they're exciting. They don't have this weight that an ending has, where it's like we're ready to just box it up and toss it in the fire. But I think naming these things that it has allowed us to understand about ourselves, the space that it has created where it's like, I know the insides of that marketing world and the emails and the things and like the things I have deleted because I couldn't stand how it made me feel or how I had to stand and fight for my brand and what I wanted to say and how it taught me to be confident in that conversation. I could think about all the negative things, but I could also take those negative things and turn them right around as lessons and things that I learned. Just like in the garden, when something doesn't work, something doesn't go, I could, instead of saying, I'm never growing that thing again, I can say, what did that plant teach me about how to grow something? And I think the conversation, I think we need to have more celebrations for endings. And we can have celebrations for beginnings. There's nothing wrong. In fact, they're both really important. In fact, I would say they're equally important because I think being able to sit and say this thing, whether it's a relationship, you know, if you were married and then all of a sudden you're like, this relationship is no longer working for whatever reason. Or if you had a friend and something happened in that relationship, there's all these things that we just so often want to just delete that connection out of our life. Delete the emails, delete the text messages, delete the story. But what if in fact that is part of it all? Like that is the thing we shed. We allow it to dance in this beautiful color to show us all the things that it gave us and what it defined us as. And then we allowed it to degrade to feed the soil that will build us into the next thing we're intended for. I'm telling you, it's deep out there. But having these conversations about this stuff is how we begin to understand why winter and these other seasons are so important. Because if fall comes, we go through this dance of celebrating the endings as much as we're celebrating the beginnings. We allow something to show us who we are. Or allow ourselves to reveal something new to ourselves or the people we love or where we want to go in our life. We can begin to make that understanding of like, yeah, I do need time for that to degrade. I do need time for that to be under the snow. I do need time to sleep on it. I need to rebuild myself. You're right. Winter is important. I need that space. And then we have a new respect for the snow. We have a new respect for how the cold feels on our cheeks and a new respect for what it can give us. Because there's nothing, the thing that we have to understand about winter is winter isn't, even if it is the time of the year where the days are the shortest and it is the darkest time of the year, it is also the time of year we are returning to the light. And I love thinking about that every day is the climb back into summer. It's really beautiful and it's really wonderful to think about it that way. But I also just feel this deep gratitude for winter because of that, of what it teaches us, the space that it gives us. And sometimes I even have said winter wasn't long enough. And I know that's an uncomfortable feeling to say out loud, but sometimes it isn't. Like I felt that way last year. I said to Mike, I was like, I didn't winter enough. And I'm sure maybe the trees felt that way too. It never got cold enough. It never got just so many things. And it felt like the sunniest winter I remember too. And I'm like, I needed more darkness. Welcome to my soul. No, I definitely enjoy winter. But it took me time to understand the value of it and to move away from it and to come back to it. So I hope this is a good guide. I'm going to read the reflection really quick before we end. I feel like that was a little longer than I intended for it to be, but this is a shorter reflection. It's only a couple of paragraphs. So the reflection today is called, appropriately, Endings as Celebrations. The entire land around us is in this array of colors. The perennial beds have tones of red and purple alongside warm browns and oranges. The maples are in every tone of yellow, orange, and red, while the aspen and beech are vibrant yellows along with the birch right now. Then there's the grass, which is still vibrantly green because we haven't seen hard enough frost or snow yet. As we descend further to the shortest day of the year, the land around us is celebrating the end of everything. I cannot help but watch this with complete curiosity. Everything as a human is about celebrating the beginnings, the big things, the moment something catapults us into new growth. Yet, here I am, watching the entire landscape dancing and celebrating in an array of colors and falling leaves that feel like confetti as everything is fading simultaneously. It leaves me asking, why don't we celebrate endings too? Why don't we celebrate the fact that something served us, but we must let it go to grow in new ways? This season, letting go of Fresh Exchange and running a brand was an ending. Our community platform will close in December. Things are ending. I am shedding. I am like the trees. Yet I sometimes feel this odd heaviness, anxiousness, and vulnerability lingering in my chest, even as I see all the space for new growth. Still, I cannot help but feel the weight and sadness that still exists with letting go. Wandering through the pathless land in the woods this week, I wondered if I have this heaviness because the ending needs to be celebrated, just like how the trees do this. Maybe I need to celebrate everything that once served me instead of focusing on what is being lost. I have mucked through the loss long enough, and now celebrating the ending is as necessary as the beginnings need it. Though I see new beginnings, they aren't as clear. There's still a lot of fog out there in my path. So letting go feels scary as much as it is exciting. The trees dance in a colorful rainbow and then drop their leaves. The leaves will degrade and then feed the forest that sustains them. This lesson is one I am taking to heart this week. How can I dance and be thankful for the ending of one thing? How will I let the celebrations feed what will grow in the spring? These questions will accompany me as I wander the land and clear the garden, where I already celebrate their endings. Now, all I must do is to learn how to do the same in myself. I hope that just kind of is like the punctuation at the end of the sentence here. I really hope that you take time, if you're feeling endings in your life, or even if you're not, that you watch and observe how nature is doing this. This is so important to understand that the things that we are letting go of and the things that nature is letting go of need time to degrade so that we can have greater respect for what lies ahead of us. I hope it's helpful. Okay, my friends, don't forget you can check out the newsletter by heading to megangilger.substack.com. It is a lovely space, and every Friday I release a free newsletter with my thoughts from the month or for that week, this reflection, on top of like what I'm doing, reading, all the things. I share all of it in there, and it's really lovely, and it's one of my favorite things. It also gives you a small tidbit of how to do something like how to celebrate endings properly. That's what we're talking about this week. So I hope you go and check it out. Share it with your friends. Until then, my friends, I'll see you out there.